Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for our weekly Bible study right here on our website. The name of our study heading is Let's Talk About Jesus. We used to have a radio broadcast by that name for many years, but the radio broadcast was also connected to the World Wide Web and simulcast, so it went into all the world, and people contacted us from Africa and other places in the world because of that outreach. Now we're just broadcasting right here on our website, a Bible study. You know me, I'm a pastor/evangelist. It will be teaching, it will be preaching, we will take a subject, but as we go into the subject, we feel led of the Spirit prayerfully to minister. We may veer one way or the other. We're not locked into anything. We are locked on the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So He can lead us today. He knows who's listening right now. He knows exactly who's listening right now. And He knows what God wants to say to you through His Word and through His servant. That's myself. I there's a lot of things I'm not, and a lot of things I can't declare myself to be. But I do declare myself to be a servant of the Most High God. He called me to preach and teach the gospel, to live the gospel as an example. And friend of mine, I have found the greatest joy and fulfillment and peace and power in my life as I seek to follow Jesus Christ, to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ today. And if you are a witness for the Lord by being a true disciple of Jesus, you have an enemy that would love to quench that bright, brilliant testimony. You used to sing it in Sunday school, didn't we? This little light of mine. And if you never grew beyond a Sunday school student, and I'm not talking about adult Sunday school, I'm talking about the little kids. If you never grew out of the little kid attitude, you still sing this little light of mine. It sticks in my throat to even say of the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, which is declared through the Word of God and in the gospel. Amen. This is a brilliant, bright light, laser-like in its brilliance. Praise God. Like the blazing sun. Hallelujah. This light of ours, let's let it shine. Let your light so shine before men. Praise God. Well, we want to shine the light and shatter the darkness today in Jesus' name. Want to talk to you today about living water for thirsty souls. You know, there is a scripture that says before we read other scriptures, blessed is he that doth hunger and thirst after righteousness, for he shall be filled. This is the basis for revival in the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about denomination now. I'm talking about in the Christian heart and the Christian life. One of the great revivalists of old said, you know, one of the mistakes we make in praying for revival is praying for God to send it down, as if God is the one that is waiting and holding it up, and we need to pray that God would release that revival into the land. A friend of mine, I agree 100% with, I think it was Charles Finney, a great revivalist of old, that made that statement. It was one of those great revivalists that saw a mighty move of God in their generation. And they said this is the wrong way to pray, because the revival, dear friend, is not in heaven. God is not the one. Actually, God's the one that said we need to get into the field. We need to get the harvest in before it's too late to get it in. He's the one that said there's a sense of urgency for this mighty flame of fire of the first love to be kindled, if it's not kindled, and rekindled if it's ever been kindled, so that we can be that beacon that representation of a kingdom that is brilliant in its light over against this kingdom that is so wicked and evil in its darkness. There's a blinding darkness in Satan's kingdom. There's a brilliant light in God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we're talking about living water for thirsty souls. Let me tell you something before we read a scripture. An ancient military strategy in the time, biblical times, ancient times, was to fill wells with sand or stone, choking them, or to throw putrefying, decaying carcasses into them, polluting them. And Satan spiritually uses this strategy to seek to choke or pollute the flow of the Spirit through us. Amen. Listen, revival is all wrapped up in you and me. Amen. The Holy Spirit has been given. And the scripture says, Jesus speaking, out of your belly, not your big stomach. Oh, everybody's not got a big stomach. Forgive me. I was thinking of myself and a few other people. Amen. Not of our big old bellies or our little old bellies, not our stomachs, but the belly. That because of its location in the body was considered to be central to the body. And they thought the spirit of a man probably dwelled in the centrality of that person's physical body. Out of your inner man, out of your own spirit, where the Holy Spirit has come to dwell with us and within us, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Can you imagine what would happen if Christians were stirred to a mighty refreshing in their hearts and lives, our hearts and lives, and release that artesian well, the Holy Spirit, springing up, hallelujah, unto everlasting life. The devil wants to stop up the well. The well is there. He just wants to stop it up. He can't take it away. He cannot eliminate it. He can't obliterate it. So he tries to pollute it. You know, when we get attitudes that are wrong, like unforgiveness and holding grudges, we allow the enemy to pollute this pure, beautiful well, and we stop the flow of it, and stop the flow of it springing up out of our belly. Amen. Listen, let's locate something today before we read any more scripture. Let's locate where God has placed His power and His base of operations in and through the believer today. Let's locate that place, because it is the object of Satan's great resistance. He knows what would happen if the mighty Holy Spirit in me is able to flow through me, amen, to touch other people with my life's testimony and my words of testimony and this mighty joy and this mighty zeal for God, amen, when true revival comes, this hunger for righteousness that always causes God to reciprocate. And when we're truly right with God, we are literally redigging the wells that the enemy has filled up with all of that junk. And sometimes down at that old-fashioned altar, we don't have to necessarily, can you find an altar? Do we still have them? Are they decorations in churches now? Are there churches that say, come to the altar, kneel down, cry out to God? For what? For what you're hungry for. I want to be right with God. So there's nothing in my life that would quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because if we grieve the Holy Spirit, there won't be any flow. If we quench the Holy Spirit, there won't be any flow through our life. We mustn't allow the enemy to move in our lives in such a way, because we are unrepentant of those things that we know we should deal with. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let 24 hours, well, really 12 hours. Don't let the sun go down. It's already up. It's going to go down in 12 hours. Don't let it go down on your wrath. When you bring your gift to the altar, don't offer it to God. Don't try to worship God without being right with God. If you know that you've done somebody wrong, amen, or if you've got aught in your heart, and that's a wrong before God, an unforgiving, grudge-holding heart, go to that person and be reconciled to them and bring your gift back to the altar, and God will receive it. You see, as a requirement that we be right with God. And when you stand praying, Jesus taught, when you stand praying, you know, we've made faith the only issue of answered prayer. If I just build my faith strong enough, I can take anything I need from God through the force of my faith. Listen, your heart has to be right before you are authorized to use your faith. Bible said we have not because we ask not. There's the lack of faith. God is not our source. But then when we use our faith inordinately, we do not receive either. You have not because you ask not, and you ask and receive not because you ask amiss to consume it on yourself or your selfish lust. Jesus said once again in the New Covenant, He says, when you stand praying, if you have aught against any, forgive them. For if you don't forgive men there, when you stand praying, you see this goes beyond just using your faith without cleansing your heart. Don't let the enemy stop up the well. If he stopped it up, here's the good news. We can repent. We can get right with God, and we can release the flow, hallelujah, of that living water out of our belly, out of our spirit, out of our soul, our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And you know what God said He was going to do in the old covenant? I will open streams in the desert. Amen. Could it be today that we are the streams, the source of the streams that God wants to open up in this dry and thirsty land where no water is? People are seeking, amen, to quench a thirst that can't be quenched through sin and through fleshly sinful pleasures. There's no drink that can satisfy the longing of a thirsty soul except the living water that only Christ can give. Thank God we've drank from the spring. We used to sing the song, didn't we? Hallelujah. Drinking from the streams of living water. Happy now am I. My soul is satisfied. I'm drinking from the streams of living water. When revival occurs, it is because someone and many have opened those stopped up wells. God didn't send it down. He already sent it down. In fact, He sent Him down. He sent the reviver. That is the source of revival, the mighty Holy Spirit. And He came to indwell us. And out of Him, within us, shall flow rivers of living water if we get the well unclogged. Oh, repentance has got a bad spin on it. Amen. It's kind of a negative, and people don't want to hear it, and they consider it a not up-to-date. I'll use the term some of them are using. It isn't sexy enough for our congregation. It just doesn't fit our modern approach to the gospel. A friend of mine, if we don't deal with this issue, the mighty Holy Spirit is grieved and in some cases literally quenched. And no wonder we have this church with lots of money and lots of programs and lots of activities, but little or no power to save, deliver, set free, heal. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, I believe God wants to restore that power. I believe He wants to restore, amen, the healing and the miracles. I believe He wants to restore the witness of the Holy Spirit, that we have the true and living God, the one that hears, the one that answers. Hallelujah. So turn with me quickly, if you will, Genesis 26:17, with getting these wells reopened, releasing revival in us. Amen. Listen, let me give you a New Testament scripture while you're turning here to the Old Testament, Genesis 26:17. The Bible said of God, He is able to do exceedingly, this is New Testament, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. Hallelujah. According to the power that worketh. Wait a minute. I thought we pray for revival because all of that power God has and God holds above us, up in His heaven, and we're praying for Him to release it down here. He said, no, it's not up in heaven. The Holy Spirit has been given. He is the Spirit of revival. And He has been come to indwell you. So getting the Spirit into us is not the big challenge today. It's releasing the Spirit to flow through us. The enemy wants to clog up that well with all kinds of unconfessed sin and unconfessed heart attitudes that are quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit. When we're wrong with one another and we're not kind and we're not forgiving, we grieve the Holy Spirit. It's a love word. It means He's so disappointed. He's grieved. Oh, friend, we can even go so far as to quenching the Holy Spirit. We can reject and resist Him when He comes to convict us of our sin or our wrong heart attitudes or activities. And we resist Him instead of receive Him. Instead of getting down before God, getting back to the altar, if you please. You can make an altar anywhere you are. You can kneel right there at home by your couch. But you have to bow your heart, not just your knees. Amen. And it's these unbowed hearts that is keeping the revival from occurring. We hold the key to this. God is not the one that is, it is saying, you know, you need to get into that field, get this harvest in, it's going to be lost. He's not the one. He's not the one that holds revival. We hold it. But the enemy, many times, somebody's going to do something to you, do something to me, and it's going to grieve us, it's going to hurt us, and it's going to cause us to want to not forgive, to hold that in our heart. The Apostle Paul called it a root of bitterness. And he said, lest there be in any of you a root of bitterness springing up, growing up into this evil, wicked tree. It's pretty easy to pull up that weed when it first comes up, isn't it? But if you let it grow into some kind of large, deep-rooted tree, then it's a struggle because you can't just kill it by cutting it down. You have to get to the root of it, the tap root of it. And friend of mine, God wants us to come before Him and be open before Him and be like David of old, who his sin almost destroyed his life and testimony and God's purpose for his life. And he didn't want to fall into that sin anymore. And he said, Lord, search me and see if there be in me any unclean way. Why did he open himself to that kind of scrutiny for God, who knows every detail about us, and particularly every detail about our heart? He said, search me. Search me. You know, the prophet said of old, the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? We can't always know our own heart, but God does. And God, through the Holy Spirit, can show us anything that the enemy has got into our life that we need to get out of our heart so we can get it out of our life, so that the well within us is pure instead of polluted. Listen to this scripture in Genesis 26 and verse 17. It said, and Isaac departed thence, pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had been covered over with sand and dirt or stones, whatever. But listen, Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names which by his father called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley. And guess what? Are you ready for this? And found there a well of springing water. The enemy had clogged them up. They couldn't stop there being an underground spring, but they could stop up that spring from springing up and causing a river to flow. Oh, friend, do you see this today? Do you understand what Jesus is saying when he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water? God has invested the Holy Spirit in us, and stopping up wells, cutting off the water supply, is a very effective military strategy in the practical human sense, but it is a very, very effective strategy of the enemy to hold back the revival in us and through us. It was customary in the East to dig wells as a proof of title to land. To fill up wells was considered an act of war. Cutting off the supply, stopping up the well, is an excellent defense against an enemy. Let's look at this. 2 Chronicles 32. And let's read 1 through 4. It says, and after these things, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib of Assyria came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men, listen, to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Amen. You see the strategy of the king of Israel to stop the enemy from finding water to refresh himself. And the enemy, controversially on the other hand, would try to lay siege to the city and stop up the wells so they would be starving for water. In one instance in the Old Testament, it says that the people became so thirsty under those conditions of a siege that they would end up having to drink their own urine out of thirst. We're living in a dry and thirsty land, and it's not just the world. It's the church world today. We've got some of the most educated teachers and preachers there have ever been. We've got access to more information about what the Bible really says and what is true. And yet, we're not seeing the result. We've got so many churches all over America, and so little effect upon the culture in America. We need this powerful, mighty, soul-cleansing flow of the Spirit of God. Can you say amen in this listening audience today? Satan knows that we're dependent on the Spirit of God for sustenance and strength. Amen. Hallelujah. Look what happens when we draw upon our spiritual resources today. In Isaiah chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, it says, "In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." My deliverer, you see, my Savior. Hallelujah. But first he becomes my strength, and then he becomes my song. Someone has said it, one of the great revivalists. There's so many, and I read of them because I'm hungry and thirsty to see a mighty move of God in my generation. There's no program, there's no wonderful choir, there's no great preaching that will take the place of the genuine, authentic presence and power of God. Amen. The church can do a lot of things that are good things, but there is no substitute for the flow of the Holy Spirit and that living water that quenches the deepest longing of our souls. Hallelujah. Listen, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song." My song. What these revivalists have all agreed upon, there's never been a true revival without joyous singing. Hallelujah. And verse 3 tells us why that song of victory, that song of triumph, that song of praise, that joyful singing is heard. It said, "Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day you shall say..." Oh, wait a minute. Let me just read the paraphrase. "Oh, the joy of drinking deeply from the fountain of salvation." And then verse 4 says, "And in that day ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted, sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." See, the midst of thee. Hallelujah. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. Out of our belly shall flow, because God, by and through the Holy Spirit, is in the midst of us. Not just in the room where we are, but literally abiding and indwelling the believer. Let me tell you something about this joy and drawing this water with joy. The Talmudist refer to the words, "With joy you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation," to the custom of making an oblation of water on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. That festival was ordinarily appointed to preserve the remembrance of Israel's nomad life in the wilderness. In the latter days, in the nation, a number of symbolic observances were added to the feast. Amid loud jubilations, didn't it say to cry aloud and shout? Listen, amid loud jubilations, the priest would in long processions down the slope from the temple to the fountain of Siloam. That's where Jesus told a blind man to go and wash the mud and spittle out of his eyes that Jesus had put in them, and he came for seeing. Amid loud jubilations, the priest would in long processions down the slope from the temple to the fountain of Siloam, and in the valley beneath, and there drew water in golden urns. They bore it back to the crowd surging around them, and then amidst the blast of trumpets, hallelujah, they cried out, "Therefore with joy you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation." Praise God. Oh, dear friend of mine, I want you to know today that God wants us to release that revival that is already in us. And it begins when the church of Jesus, every true Christian, every true child of God, allows God the Holy Spirit to show us things in our life, things in our heart that we need to deal with. If we do not forgive men their trespasses, the Holy Spirit is effectively grieved, and our prayer life is effectively stopped. Listen, because if we don't forgive men their trespasses, it says God will not forgive us our trespasses. And it's crucial when we stand praying. When we stand praying, amen, we need to release God to move in answer to prayer and release the Holy Spirit to move within us when we pray. Hallelujah. Listen, God is so graciously willing to save and fill with His Spirit. Listen to Isaiah 44:3. "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Blessed is he who doth hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Filled with what? Filled, amen, with what we're hungry for. Being right with God, amen. Dear friend of mine, there's a phone going off somewhere. Maybe God's dialing your number today. Hallelujah. Maybe He's got your number. I know He's got my number. I know He's dealing with my heart today. Precious friend, it is time, it is high time that we react and respond to the call of God to get right with Him, so that what we need so desperately in our life and what the world needs from our life might be manifest. And that is that this living water will spring up unto everlasting life. Listen, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, come to Christ. Don't wait any longer. Come to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Run and drink of this water. You won't have to go back to the bar and try to drink it away with alcohol. You won't have to try to find that you need in your soul with drugs. You won't have to find it through sinful practices. You'll never find it. There will never be enough sex. There will never be enough drugs, enough rock and roll. There will never be enough alcohol to drown this thirst within us. Just like Jesus told the woman at the well, if you drink this water of this well, this natural water, you're going to thirst again. But if you knew who it was that asked you to give me drink, you would ask of me, and I'd give you water. You would never thirst again, because the water I give you is living water. Hallelujah. And she said, "Sir, give me then this water." Would you say to Christ today, as you repent of your sin and receive Him as your sovereign and Savior, "Lord, give me this water in Jesus' name."